here's a story from The World.
Exactly 1 month from today, that's when many people in this country, Chinese Americans especially, may have to stop using WeChat, an app that keeps them connected to China. President Trump's executive order targeting the Chinese messaging app WeChat goes into effect on the 20th of September. The Trump administration says the app poses a national security risk and a privacy risk to anyone who uses it. The prospect of losing WeChat has put people in the U.S. with connections to China on edge. But as The World's Lydia Emanuelito reports, they're also conflicted.
Frankie Huang, a writer and illustrator based in the Boston area, first heard about WeChat years ago. She was living in China at the time.
I was taking a hip-hop dance class in Beijing, and my teacher said, I should add you on WeChat, on Weixin, in China. And I was like, I don't know what this is.
Today, WeChat is just too big to miss. It's a social media app, an e-commerce platform, a blogging site, banking tool, ride-hailing service, and so many other things, all rolled into this one super app. It's extremely popular in China and beyond.
I feel like every Chinese-speaking person and people with connections to China are on WeChat, and it's just this really powerful network.
A network of more than 1 billion users worldwide. 19 million of them, like Huang, are in the U.S. Huang uses WeChat to stay in touch with family and friends and to follow in-app blogs and other posts, which she relies on for her research and writing.
It's become something really indispensable in my life.
It's hard to overstate just how important this one app is for so many Chinese Americans and for people with personal and business connections to China.
WeChat is often the first thing I check in the morning when I wake up and the last thing I check before I go to bed.
Charlie Gu runs a marketing agency in San Francisco. He uses the app to talk and text with his family back in China, where he was born and grew up.
We have a WeChat group, all the family members, including, you know, extended family members like cousins.
WeChat is one of the few options they have since so many other messaging and social media platforms are banned in China. And Gu says WeChat is useful in lots of other ways. For example, he says, local governments in U.S. cities with big Chinese immigrant populations rely on it to put out crucial public service announcements. So when he heard the Trump administration was targeting WeChat through an executive order, Gu says he was rattled.
I thought a ban on WeChat was impossible because WeChat is simply too big to be banned.
To be clear, WeChat hasn't been banned in the U.S., and it's not a sure thing that it will be. The executive order President Trump signed earlier this month is vague and unclear. It prohibits people in the U.S. from carrying out transactions on WeChat starting in late September. Gu is scared about how any restrictions will affect him, not just personally, but also professionally. His marketing agency, Collective Influence, with a K, relies on WeChat to introduce and promote American brands to the Chinese market.
I've heard from clients and business partners about the confusion of what this means. They're just waiting to see what exactly the executive order will cover.
Ray Zong is also waiting to see how this executive order plays out. She's with the Wilson Center, a think tank in Washington, D.C. She uses WeChat for her research on U.S.-China relations and to communicate with her family back in China.
My family's from Wuhan, so we've really had a roller coaster of a year.
During the height of the outbreak in Wuhan earlier this year, Zong was using WeChat to make sure her grandparents, who are in their 70s and 80s, were staying safe, getting their groceries, their prescriptions. She doesn't know if and how this order will impact her ability to text her grandparents. But one thing that is clear, she said, is that the Trump administration's targeting of WeChat is part of a pattern. It's been cracking down on several Chinese apps and tech giants like TikTok and Huawei.
For a long time, we've seen these companies conduct business in ways that U.S. policy regulators haven't really found an issue with. But as diplomatic relations between China and the U.S. unraveled throughout 2020, I think that's definitely an environment that we're going to see change.
When it comes to WeChat specifically, even those who rely heavily on the app say there's good reason to take action against it. Researchers and human rights activists have tracked how the Chinese government uses WeChat to surveil its citizens, to spread propaganda, and to censor those who speak out against it. But even WeChat's fiercest critics say a ban here in the U.S. is not the way to go.
We don't believe this country should do that. It is not in line with the democratic value.
Chen Li Young is a former political prisoner of China and a longtime human rights activist based here in the U.S. Young, along with D.C.-based lawyer Times Wong, have been working on a series of lawsuits against WeChat on behalf of U.S. users who say they were censored or surveilled through the app. Wong, the lawyer, says any U.S. action on WeChat needs to be calculated.
If you look at this from the Chinese Communist Party's perspective, nothing would make them happier than a ban because it legitimizes their way of governing.
Instead, Wong and Young say the U.S. should take action that specifically targets the censorship, surveillance, and other abuses they say the Chinese government is doing through the app. That would be more in line with U.S. values and wouldn't necessarily cut off what many in the Chinese diaspora see as a lifeline to China. For The World, I'm Lydia Emanuelidou.